Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We also meet on the second and fourth Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. for Bible study, prayer, and fellowship. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Luke chapter 11, verses 14 through 23. I'm not going to try to even begin to preach all that's on there, but there's just a few things, thoughts I think the Lord wants us to have, because tonight it's going to really build a foundation for what we're going to experience this evening. Reading at verse 14, and chapter 11. And he was casting out a demon, and it was mute. So it was that when the demon had gone out, that the mute spoke, and the multitudes marveled. Others testing him sought from him a sign from heaven. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say, I cast out demons by Beelzebub. But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. What happened? There we go. Start all over again. Here we go. Ready? Go. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his but when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes him from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils. Verse 24, I don't think you have it up there. I want to read this. But when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places and seeking rest and finding none, he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. But he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. Then they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that the spirit of prophecy, the spirit of God would come upon me today, because, Lord, I need to just at least lay a foundation for what we're going to talking about. Lord, we don't talk about demons very often. We don't talk about the devil, and we're not here to exalt him. But, Lord, the most important things we want to talk about is deliverance. That those who are living under the oppression, living under the control of demonic spirits, that they'll be served notice to there's going to be an eviction notice served to them this very hour. Because the power of you is upon them, and you are able to do exceedingly above what we can ask, think, or even imagine. Holy Spirit, be with us today, and we'll give you all the praise, the honor, and glory. For we ask all these things in the power of the Lord Jesus, and all God's people said,
amen.
You may be seated. One of the things I've been wondering, not so much wondering about, but how is it that when we come to Jesus, and the last scripture that I read that I didn't put on the overhead, is the very idea that people get delivered, or they get set free, or they get saved, and we use that particular word, you get saved. And so it's like it says in the particular scripture that when a spirit is expelled or taken out of a person, or their life changes, it's all fresh and new and clean and able to just go forth. But the idea is this, that unless there's something to occupy that place has been cleaned, come on, somebody's already got me ahead of me. Unless you occupy that space that's been cleaned, seven more worse than what you had, your state is worse than you were before. And you say, what does that mean? You know, are you here to scare us today? No. I'm here to inform you that once God has delivered you, you need to fill yourself up with himself. And the enemy is just, he likes a clean place. Oh, you got all this stuff. He's got new things to put into your life. And such has been the case. I want to take you to this particular places of some questions. First of all, have you realized that the power that is available to you in the name of Jesus? Because that's what we're going to be operating in both today and tonight, is that we're going to say in the name of Jesus, we will speak things into existence that you were not able to apprehend before. There is no more powerful name on the earth than the name of Jesus. Somebody say amen. The Bible says that the name of Jesus, demons tremble. They get nervous. They say, oh boy, gig's up. I'm going to insert something here because I doubt seriously I'm going to get to my notes anyway, so I'll just randomly go there. The very first time I was in a revival meeting, I was 18 years old. I had no idea what I was doing. Matter of fact, I drove down to Los Angeles, California in a 1958 Pontiac that had no front bumper. I had May Pops on my car. May pop at any moment. I got as far as Salem, Oregon, because back in the days when they used to have those retreaded tires, they could put them on there. They put them on with crazy glue. I got to Salem, Oregon, and the first one, the tire tread let go. Now, the miracle of this whole thing, I had $100 in my pocket. Why did I do this? I don't know. I'm just setting the stage for you that I didn't have a whole lot of money. So $27 went toward getting another tire. Do the math. 73 left. Well, anyway, I get down to California. Let me just get through this whole particular story. I know why I'm going there, but I think it's for somebody in the house. Went through there, and my aunt invited me, well, you should go to our church. Come over to our church and preach. Storefront church down in the wildest part of town. So one of my car, of course, the only reason why they didn't steal my car is they had no front bumper. They couldn't tow it away. So, cool. And I encounter this man. The service went great. You know, I'm preaching this type of thing. There was all maybe 30 people there. But God began to do some amazing things. And then this guy comes in. He sits on the bench, he's waiting for his wife. And then all of a sudden, the devil takes over him and he's ready to take over the meeting. And he comes at me like I'm thinking, and the only thing I knew was the name of Jesus. I said, in the name of Jesus, stop! And I'm hoping he did. And he does. But it's not over. Because all of a sudden, there's an out and out war between me at 18 years old, call a God on my life, have no sense whatsoever, but God sent me down there to teach me a lesson that either I was going to believe in Jesus, because Jesus was all I had at that point. Fellow stops it for a moment, then all of a sudden the demons begin to manifest. He's rolling around the floor, then all of a sudden he lays flat on the floor, he looks at me, he curses me, he says, you don't have the power to cast me out. Now, his mouth is open, his lips are not moving, but a spirit from inside of him is saying this stuff. I'm thinking, oh boy, game over. That's when you find out whether you believe in Jesus or not. That's when you find out whether or not the God that you serve is able. I mean, think at 18 years old, you say, what do you have? If you, it doesn't matter, it's not the age thing, it's the belief factor that comes in. And so he goes back and forth. He starts saying all this different stuff. And then, of course, just like the devil does, this goes on for an hour or two, and it doesn't have to be that long. But it's because I'm thinking, oh, please go. Please leave. Well, I didn't say that to him. I said, get out! Then I hear this voice that says, we're all out now. That's what the devil's saying. He says, we're gone. And I'm supposed to fall for this. Really? My point in saying all this to you, eventually this man finally is delivered. But here's the interesting thing about it. He did not remember anything that happened from the time he walked in that door until the moment he was delivered. What I'm telling you to you today is that the devil, number one, is a liar. But number two, he will keep you in bondage as long as you allow him to, or unless someone comes along that says, this has got to stop today. I want to serve notice on the devil and on some of the things you've been struggling with. Their game is over. It's up. God is about to deliver folks like you've never seen it before. Come on. And it's not the, it's, it says, anyone who believes in me, it's not me. The elders of our church and other people here that are prayer warriors, they have the same authority that, that we have in the name of Jesus. Let me go to my second little bullet point here. Have you realized that demons are real and are constantly working against you to cause you to fail? Demons are real. But they don't wear red union suits, have pointed tails, and have pitchforks. That characterization, or we have kind of this idea, and they don't always sneer and snarl and do all kinds of weird stuff. They just know they can captivate you by taking your mind in places where you really don't want to go. Ever been hijacked by a demon? Say yes, because you have. You were planning to pray, and you ended up watching endless reruns of Family Feud. Yes, you did, hour after hour. Oh, you know, survey says, or whatever. But your plan was to spend time with Jesus. But you know something? You can get hijacked by a demon, and they're not always snarling, saying, I'm going to make you not watch, you know, I'm going to make you watch Family Feud and not read your Bible. No. It's just that captivated interest that it intrigues you, and there you go. Let me take you to number three, and then we're going to get right into the text that I have for you. Did you know that anything you ask in the name of Jesus will be given to you? Say, wait a minute, hold on just a second. Where did you get that idea? From the Bible. And let me read the text for you. It goes into verse 9 of chapter 11 and says this. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will you give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will you give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks you for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? If they, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, you being evil know how to give gifts to your good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? That is a lock solid guarantee. If not, tear that page out of your Bible. You say, what? If you're not going to act on that premise, just pretend like it doesn't exist. Let me show you what we're saying here. Asking, seeking, and knocking is the whole principle that we function under in the body of Christ, which simply means this. We have the power and authority when we ask in the name of Jesus. We must learn that the power that is in the name of Jesus is available to all believers. Somebody shout amen. Amen. In the name of Jesus. I like that. Somebody's got some faith in this house today. Our faith rests upon the word of Jesus that we can ask according to his will. Now, you say, well, he didn't say according to his will. He says ask anything in his name. The problem that I think that we face is that we do not know the word of God well enough that we just ask with a fantasy in our mind that we can just have... Jesus loves me, I can have whatever I want, whenever I want. No. Can I take you to your father? That when you ask him, Dad, can I drive the car? You're 12, okay? Can I drive the car? Could you give me the keys to the car? The answer is no. Do you know why? There's a couple reasons why. Number one, you don't have a license. Number two, you think you know how to drive and you don't. And maybe number three, you can't reach the pedals. How about that? But you love me. You know, see, God knows better than you do. There's things that you think you can do that you really can't do. The things you think you're ready for, you're really not ready for. When you ask according to his will, God says it will happen. But if you go beyond God's will, don't expect anything to happen. Really? Well, that's kind of enlightening. So that means that God's not withholding anything from me. Here's what the scripture says. No good thing will God withhold from those whom he loves. Is that the word of God? If it's a good thing, God says it's yours. You can have it. I guarantee it. That is what your inheritance is. But until that thing comes to that particular place where it's good for you, God says, mm-mm. Not going to happen. Well, let's explore this a little bit further. When we ask, it's God's will that we live in power and freedom. The next thing it says, seek. When we seek the Lord, we pursue him, knowing that he's the only one who can supply that what we truly need. The Bible says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Is God hiding? Answer me. No. So if he's not hiding, then what does it mean seek the Lord? It means that we take the place where we are and we go where he is. It's a transition from what you're comfortable with or what you're used to the place where God has already ordained for you to be. When you seek God, is any of you ever play hide and seek? I hope you didn't play it like we did. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 30, you know what I mean. Cheat. You're supposed to cover your eyes. 35, 40, 45, 50. Ready or not? What was the last part of that? Thank you. Ready or not, here I come. God doesn't do the ready or not, here I come. God says, seek me and you shall find me when you pursue me with your whole heart. The problem is we have not been seeking God wholeheartedly. Our heart has been distracted on other things. God is in the midst of other things that we seek, and God knows a divided heart will not pursue righteousness. Well, anyway, our focus is on Jesus, and when we seek God, our focus is on Jesus and not on the problem. Let me tell you how to pray, or should you at least teach how to pray. Right now, many of you need finances. Anybody need money, finances? Okay, don't raise your hand and be broke. Anybody need finances? Oh, the hands really went up then. Okay, good. So when we seek God, it's with the idea that we identify that it's him who can supply. So you don't seek finances, you seek Jesus who will show you how to receive what you need. The idea behind this is we have confidence in the promises of his word. And my God shall supply all your needs according to in glory. So we pursue Jesus and he says, I can supply this need. I own everything. And ever found out, he said, I just can't believe that happened. Well, they gave me the job and I shouldn't have got the job. No, God already arranged that for you. Hello? Or they gave me grace, or they gave me an extension here, or they forgave all the debt that I have. Do you realize it's because of what God has done? It was nothing. It wasn't your hair. It wasn't your cologne. Oh, dear Jesus. Okay. I was visiting with some new friends of mine the other day. You know, Jehovah Jireh and all these different names we pursue God with. Someone told me there's a new one that we have. It's called Jehovah Coincidence. And some of you believe it's Jehovah Nisi, but there's Jehovah Coincidence. I don't know how it works. It was just a coincidence. Will you stop that blasphemy and realize it's God that supplied that for you? It was good karma. Are you kidding me? It wasn't karma. It was Christ. Whew. Thank you. Feel better. Thank you, Jesus. We seek him out because of our love relationship with him, which transcends the problems that we face. You've got to love God more than the problem. Sometimes the problem is so in our face, we forget about how we praise God. It's like, I can't praise God until I get this thing taken care of. So when God does it, then I'll praise it. No, praise him before it happens. Praise him that you know that he's going to do it. I'm just kidding. So we ask, seek, knock. Boy, I haven't got to the devils yet. Hurry on. Okay. We are confident in seeking his presence. Here's the next one. Knock, knock. Jesus. See? Gotcha! We're knocking on doors and we don't even know who's behind the door. You need to get to know what door you're knocking on, and when he comes to the door, you can embrace him with all of your heart. Knock on this door. Knock on that door. Oh, it's another door of opportunity. It's not an opportunity. It's God. He says, knock and it shall be opened. I want to deal with you prideful folks. Well, I just don't really know how to pursue God, you know, because here's the deal. Some of you are so afraid of disappointment. That's the reason why you don't knock. Here's your mantra. He who expects nothing shall never be disappointed. Isn't that spiritual? Let me break that down for you. We boldly approach the throne of grace in time of need. We have confidence in his ability to supply all our needs. We put our hope and trust in the promises of his provision. Now, here's the part that will help you. God acknowledges all requests that are made of him. Let me put it to you in better language. God is not rude. He says, call on me and I will answer you. That's a promise, right? But let me show you how experience works with that particular thing. We must be willing to confront anything in our life that would prevent God from granting us our request. Now, that's the thing we got to look through the filter. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. The only thing God will hear from you is your repentance to get it straight so you can have a right relationship with him. A lot of things you've been blaming God for, it's your fault, not his. Because when there's iniquity, when there's sin in our life that we know that we will not confess and we expect God to answer us, I got a word for you. That's crazy. It's like you owe me $100 and you come up to me as if you don't owe me nothing and say, I need $100 more. That would be a no. I can't believe you. I can't believe you. Well, I mean, you know, I'm good for another $100. And you haven't apologized. You haven't said, you know, help me with this situation. But you just think you're, see, we have an entitlement mentality. I got to digress for a moment here to help somebody. Just hold on. This will help you. This is going to set some people free. Get ready to say, I'm going to be free. Raise your hand, I'm going to be free. I want to show you the oldest book in the Bible. I learned this last week, and I just got to tell you this. Do you realize Job number one is the oldest book in the Bible? Did you know that? Anybody didn't know that? Just wave your hand. This doesn't matter. Oldest book in the Bible. Older than Genesis and this type of thing. In the book of Job, how many of you remember the fact that Job had a pretty rough day? All his camels died, this type of thing, things were going crazy. But here's the biggie. They said, and another servant came running and said, a great windstorm came about, and all of your children were at one of your children's house, and the roof caved in, and all of them died. You think, oh, what a tragedy. But here's the thing, the part of the story I didn't realize, so someone pointed this out to me. Did you realize that Job was codependent with his kids? Listen, Job would go before God and would offer sacrifices and would pray and intercede for his kids, that God would, you know, protect them, because they were rebel rousers, they were drinkers, they were brawlers, this type of thing. And he believed, and he was a righteous man. He was doing all this, and he did it for all the right reasons. But when once, you know, God removed and says, you can't touch Job's life, but gave Satan permission to deal with those kids, the roof caved in. And they all died. Listen to me. There are things that you won't let go of that you're blaming God for. That when people make their choices and they're out underneath God's covering, there's sometimes when God's, ever had a person tell you, okay, go ahead, do what you're going to do. It wasn't permission, it was the fact that you're going to do what you're going to do anyway. And once you take yourself out from under God's protection, you are a sitting duck for the devil and his demons. Whoo, somebody got a revelation. Oh. It's going to be okay. My point in bringing this out is that when we honor, we ask God a request, make sure your life is in right alignment with God when you make requests from him. Because if you regard iniquity in your heart, God is under no obligation here. There's God's mercy. It's renews every morning, but there's no guarantee that he has to do it. Let me move on real quickly. I'm going to wrap this up in just the next few minutes, at least within the next hour. Just kidding. When we are asking God, we must be ready to receive what God supplies. We must allow faith to override our fear of disappointment. How is this going to equate to this whole demonic experience? I got to skip over a lot of stuff to get where I really want to go, so I'm bypass several things. And I want to go to, actually, the very last part of it. It'll be item number 3. Deliverance from the devil requires that we are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Chapter 11, verse 13, this is what he says. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. Some of you get all offended. Why are you gonna call me evil? Because you are. And you notice he didn't sanctify of you that have issues. He said evil. I'm not going to unpack that for you. I'll let it just marinate just so you get through it. How much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now let me just unpack that for these last few moments. The devil never gives up on a person delivered from his influence and power. Now I'll go to verse 24 that I read a few moments ago. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest, finding none. He says, I will return to my house from which I came. Note the word there, my house. Many of us have found ourselves making the devil comfortable. Notice he says, my house. And the way we make the devil comfortable is the very fact that we make choices that align ourselves with the kingdom of this world. Well, some of you haven't got it yet. Let me just dig in a little deeper. The priorities in our life are more aligned with the things of the world than they are aligned with the things of God. Are you getting it yet? The things that you spend your time with are more aligned with the things of this world and not with the kingdom of God. Anybody getting a clue yet? That Starbucks prioritizes you spending time in the Word in the morning. Are you there yet? You got to have Starbucks before you can get into Jesus. Somebody made the corner. The I felt that light bulb went on. Because I've heard you say, oh, honey, I can't do nothing until I get my coffee. There's something wrong with that. Dare I call it, that coffee demon got a hold of you and will wrestle you to the floor. I can't even think straight. You know how I know this is true? Lord willing, if we decide to go on a Daniel fast in January this year, some of you for the first 3 days will have migraine headaches trying to detoxify from coffee. Somebody who's had that happen, come on, wave your hand at me. You see what I mean? My thought process here, I've just got to bring this down to where I believe God is taking us. The devil never gives up on a person delivered from his influence and power. He is willing and wanting to take you back at any time. Deliverance from drugs, deliverance from pornography, deliverance from, I'll just start naming the things you don't like to talk about. Pornography, lying, stealing, cheating, running around, this type of thing. So, wow, why is he talking about all those things? Because that's what people do. But here's the deal. The devil will take you back anytime. You can go back to whatever you got delivered from anytime. He will take you. Oh, come on back. Come on back. We got a special. Sorry. Jesus, help me. But here's the thing. The devil desires to return at any time there's an opportunity or a vacancy. I know many of you have been traveling and this type of thing, and maybe you were on the road and you didn't make reservations ahead of time and you're going by the whole Sovereign Snake Hotel and you see the sign that says no vacancy. Oh my goodness, what are we going to do? Rather, no vacancy. And when you're really tired, you're thinking, I'll just take anything. And here you are at the no-tell motel. Baby, you remember that place we went to in California? The one that had all the, yeah, the mirrors on the ceiling and all that kind of stuff. Remember that? Yes, Lord! But we were tired. We didn't care now, but with the signs that we want to lay down. We were stupid too, but that's another word. But what we're looking for is a vacancy. And our attendance, our intention was to occupy. Do you know any time you've had a major deliverance of being set free in your life, the enemy finds out about it, especially when he's been there before, and he's looking for the next opportunity to move in, and he calls it, hey, you know, I've lived, this is a great place to live. Come on, let's go. You say, you're making that up. The Bible says, this is what the Bible says. So I return to my house, which I can't really call it his house. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. I will let you know, when Jesus saves you, he does a good job. There's no such thing as half saved. I have just a warm feeling toward Jesus. I mean, he just, when he holds me, I just feel so good with Jesus around. No, baby. You either gave yourself to Jesus or you didn't. And so, the Lord will clean you up. And when the Son is set free, is free indeed. God does not do a half job on anything. So he's cleaned you up. But then, here's the last little part that we can get to. The devil will return at any time there's an opportunity or vacancy, and he invites more demons to come with him. That's the reason why it's a struggle. Our spirit is designed to be filled with something that we deem to be important. And I can go on to say that the fruit of the Spirit are the natural elements that are designed to fill the life of every believer. Just take the scripture down. I'm not going to go there, but it tells you all the attributes of the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. Our goal is, if we are filled up with the attributes of the Spirit, the devil has no place to land. Which means we prepare our house, as it were, for an honored guest. A clean house is a place where ministry can flow freely to honor the Lord. Instead of being tired of being miserable, we should desire to be fruitful. That misery that you once had is now designed to be fruitful in the Lord. Let me give you another little piece. Instead of being overwhelmed with sorrow, we should be filled with joy. How about that? I'm getting close to the end. You ought to be shouting now. We're on the last page. Hallelujah! Instead of being controlled by the enemy, we should wage war against the kingdom of darkness. Come on, worship team. Come on up here. Help me out. When I say wage war against that, do you realize what a threat you are against the enemy once you've allowed the Holy Spirit to fill you up? And it doesn't mean you have to go out. Now, here's what some of us fear. I'm not going out on a corner with a sign that says, Jesus saved. I'm not going to do that. No. Put that in your heart. And when people, when you have a time, you just share your testimony of what Jesus did for you. The greatest sign you can ever demonstrate is the fact of living for Jesus in this perverse generation. God's going to give you the power to speak up and to speak a word that will set somebody free. Let Jesus live in your heart and he'll speak out of you rivers of living water that will change people's direction.
Amen.
That's how it works. Well, once we've been delivered, we will become better or worse. And he goes out. Bring seven spirits worse than that. Here's the last three things I'll tell you. We will return to our former bondage if we choose to live for ourselves, live our lives for ourselves. Every person that I know of that has backslidden, we don't use that term very often. How many of you know what backslidden means? Ooh, some of you don't know. Ooh, Lord, have mercy. That means you go back to where you once were. But you know what? It's kind of an incomplete term. You go back further than where you once were. You pick up some new or some old, some new habits to your old ones and are worse than you were before. We must invite the presence of the Lord into our lives daily. We must choose to fill our hearts with his word. I'm just capitalizing some things because I want to kind of get us prepared for what I believe God's going to do today and also tonight. Here's what I know. I said this, and I believe it. Demons are real. This is not to scare you, it's just to let you know that the devil is playing hardball, no mitt. What does that mean? He doesn't care. He'll take any person out that he can. Today, and as we prepare even for tonight, strongholds that are in people's lives are oftentimes masked by other things that we allow ourselves to get involved with. And one of the number one things we get ourselves involved with is busyness. Scheduling. And we rule out any time that there could be for Jesus. Also, in the realm of deliverance, God offers to us the opportunity to confront those things that have kept you bound for a long period of time, of things you thought you'd never be set free from. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I need to close at this moment. But I want my intercessor to be praying because there's something very specific that God has for at least a couple of people here now, and others of you, perhaps it'll be tonight. The word that was illuminated in my mind so clearly is a four-letter word that all of us are way too acquainted with. It's a word called fear. And the devil does an amazing job. When fear comes upon the scene, we find ourselves in a position where we'll do anything to try to ward it off. In many cases, we'll try to cut a deal to make it go away. Before I say anything further, those of you who are struggling with fear right now, I want you to stand right up. Stand up right now. 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 In the name of Jesus. 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 There's five more people need to be standing. I'm not going to allow the devil. There's one. There's four more. Where are you? There are four. There's two. There's three more people need to be standing right now. I curse the devil in the name of Jesus. There's three. There's four. There's five. Thank you very much. Just remain standing for a moment. And these are the only people we're going to pray for right now. We're all going to stand and worship in just a moment. Because tonight we're going to have time to work on some issues. But the reason why I said fear is at the very opening thing. If the devil can put up that mask of fear, he's got you. But I believe the Holy Spirit has deliverance for besetting habits. And I'm going to leave that off until this evening. Our pastors and such and elders will be praying with you about those besetting habits. But there's nothing that my God cannot do.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Everybody else stand. Those of you that are standing right now, come right now. Come to the altar right now. Those of you standing for fear, stand. Come right now. Do not wait. Do not wait. Do not wait.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.